scripture this morning is just two verses from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Here we are at the beginning of a new year, full of potential. Now, new years aren't unique. We've all seen many of them. We get one every year. But yet, somehow it still feels kind of special, having this fresh beginning right before us. So here 2025 stands in front of us as a church and beckons us to make a difference, to be the church on a hill visible to everyone. So we're not really on a hill, but we are in a beautiful corner where there's not much around to distract the eye. In which way we are very noticeable. And little things that we've started to do, like putting the light on in the tower, just adds to the physical visibility. Of course, God's talking about a different kind of visibility, not just physical, but the spiritual visibility. Our church needs to be like that little city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And everything we do as a church needs to shine the light of Jesus for the purposes of Christ. We have something amazing that the world needs. We have Jesus and all the blessings that come from knowing him. And we should want to share that with the community that we love. Now, you guys have been doing stuff. Coffee Talk, Wisdom Wednesdays are brilliant ways of bringing the community here to fellowship with each other and to fellowship with you, the members of the church. And it's important that as members of the church, you shine this light for Jesus. Now, Lenny and Jim have hospitality over the top. And I know when I've talked to Lenny, she finds joy in doing it. And that's the key. If there's joy in doing it, you know that Jesus is in it. When work doesn't feel like work, and we all know that what she does is a lot of work, but when work doesn't feel like work and there's joy in it, it's a good indication you're following the Christ path in what he has in store for you. When you're present in those places at Wisdom Wednesdays or at the Coffee Talk or any other kind of a place you may be, when you are the considerate and kind one, it's noticed. It's shining. You're shining a light, and especially in the world today where people seem to be a little more pushy and shovey, a little more caring about their own needs and not so attentive to the people around them. When we do the simplest of things, it shines. Do they know that it's Jesus in you shining? Maybe not. But it doesn't change the witness any. See, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. So when you shine just doing the Jesus things in life, and others notice and they think highly of you, they think, wow, they're a really nice person. I like being near them. I like chatting with them. They always make me feel good. There's something friendly and warm about them. They won't identify necessarily that it's Jesus. But you're sowing seeds the Holy Spirit can use. Because every time they encounter someone, particularly from Browns, and they have the same kind of experience with Browns people, the church gains a reputation of being full of lovely, kind people. And as you look around the room, it's a good description of who is here, because that is who you are. So I'm not really giving you a thing like to work for, but more of an encouragement to say, keep doing those things. Paul tells us not to grow weary in doing good, because there's a harvest coming. And we don't always get to see the harvest. We don't know the impact of the kindness that we offer people. And for some of you, it's just so ingrained in who you are, you're probably thinking, well, I'm just being me, which is awesome. Because if your natural state is kindness, you've done something right, you've learned something good, and you've been growing in your faith. We'll let the Holy Spirit worry about the revelation of those seeds we sow. And in his timing, something will come of it. Another question we can ask is, do others realize that we do what we do because we are the church? And maybe that's a question we need to ask of ourselves. Why do we do what we do? If we're doing it to get the praises of men, not a good motivation. If we're doing it to shine the love of Christ, that's a fantastic motivation. So we can do good things, but if we don't do good things with the right reasons, they don't have the same kind of harvest. So we have to kind of watch our motivation. Why are we doing what we do? Now, I know one of the reasons this church in particular has created some of these things, the Wisdom Wednesday, the Coffee Talk, is to be relevant in the community, to make a connection with the people outside the church, which is a brilliant reason for doing those things. Because the role of the church has never been to host a private club. And if all we do is take care of us, we're missing the reason we're here. Small churches can be very strong and influential when they look outside their walls to make a difference in the community, to do the work of Christ outside this space. What is the purpose of the church? Now, when we gather for the purpose of being built up in love and good works. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So we're encouraging each other in the work, the love and good works, so that those deeds will be seen by others who are in our congregation. And eventually they will praise our Father. They might not know who they're praising, but we know. Hebrews says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I heard someone say before that the world can't get dark as long as there is light. The church is the light of the world. And when the church does what the church was intended to do, we are shining a light in the darkness. Darkness will not win. Some people are fearful that the darkness is increasing and that this world is getting to be darker and darker, and there's a fear in that. But the Bible actually tells us that the church will shine brighter and brighter, because the darker it is around, the brighter the light shines. That's our role. Particularly in these end times, drawing closer to Christ's return. We are called to be empowered by God and to live together as the body of Christ. It's a reminder for us to be living proof of a loving God. And we all know that actions speak louder than words. We've heard this verse recently, 1 John 3:18, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That defines the purpose of the church. There is definitely clear work for the church to be going about doing. Now, there are five general functions of the church that are described in Scripture. There's worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. Now, worship is more the religious act of getting together and directing our devotion to Christ. where we sing and we pray and we read scripture and we acknowledge God's presence and we offer our praise. Then there's fellowship. And fellowship is actually more than just getting together and chatting. Fellowship is this unity of Christians. It's this bond between us because of Christ. Then there's discipleship. A disciple of Jesus is one who embraces and lives by the teachings of Jesus. They are imitators of Christ. They are devout followers. In our faith, all disciples are Christians, but not all Christians are disciples. It's determined by the following. Are you following Christ? Because you can be a Christian and look a lot like the world. Because being a Christian is about what you believe. Being a disciple is about how you live. And there's ministry, which is the act of serving others and sharing the message of Jesus. In many ways, Wisdom Wednesday is a ministry. Coffee Talk is a ministry. The newsletter is a ministry. Our sign is a ministry. Those are the ways that we share the message of Christ with others. It's a way to live out our faith through actions that demonstrate love and compassion and service to those in need. And all of those activities grow our faith and our understanding of the word. Then there's evangelism, which is sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ through speech, action, and love. It can be sort of mission-based, but it can also be individually achieved by authentic living as a disciple of Jesus. We don't think of our lives as being an instrument of evangelism, but they truly are when we live authentically following Christ. So if we were to be honest with ourselves as a church, which of these five purposes are we doing really well and which might need some work? I say we can improve in every one of them. We'll never fully achieve. But is there one that sort of lingers, that maybe we need to think about a little more intentionally? And I would say, and this is true for practically every church, that the place where we maybe neglect is evangelism, for a large variety of reasons. In the United Church, it's almost a dirty word, so we've changed the word so that it doesn't sound so repulsive. Because we think of street preachers holding their placards, repent or perish, and we think of people like yelling at you and screaming and pressing their agenda. And if you've ever watched video reels, they have some really extreme evangelists who get into confrontations with people just random in the, and I think it serves no good purpose. We think of evangelists as being very pushy. But what if evangelism wasn't like that? Because it's not supposed to be like that. What if it was more like bearing witness to what you know? Bearing witness to what you know does not sound scary at all. It's not being afraid to mention you believe in Jesus. It's being confident to say that your joy comes from knowing Jesus. When someone says, "Why are you smiling all the time?" your response, as naturally as it could be, "Because I'm filled with the love of the Lord." That's not preachy. That's giving credit where credit is due. That's evangelism, bearing witness to what you know. Because we have something amazing. We have something amazing that the world needs. We have Jesus. How many of us have said or heard another of us say, "I don't know how people get through life without Jesus. I don't know how they get through the struggles without Jesus." And yet, we all know people doing it poorly, and we know what they need is Jesus. If only they had faith, it would help them so much. And yet, we tend to be afraid to share that. We have Jesus and all the blessings that come with him. We have a good future. We have peace that surpasses all understanding. We have joy unspeakable. We have extravagant love through Christ. Why are we so afraid to say so? Is it really offensive? Paul, who will later die in Rome, says, "I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that the righteous person has life." Our very life is because of our faith. Now, Jesus gave the Great Commission to the church. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples. Many of our Christian brothers and sisters aren't disciples. I've heard the expression, they have enough of Jesus to keep them out of hell, but they don't really have much more. And so, even to our Christian brothers and sisters, our life bears witness to what we know, that there is a deeper place to go. There is more growing to do. There is a Father who loves them more than they could ever imagine. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a whole transformation of our being. Now Jesus says to obey everything that he's commanded. And in Matthew, Jesus is very clear. There are two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. You do these two things and everything else falls into place. But how can you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind and not want to give witness to this love? How can you love your neighbor as yourself and not share about the love of Jesus with them? Let's be the church on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. Let's be the church known for its love and good deeds. And let's give authentic witness to what we know. Because we can change the heart of this community. And we can bring people back to church where they can grow to love Jesus too and where they can benefit from the fellowship of other Christians. 2025 stands before us offering an opportunity to make a difference. Will you embrace this chance? Will you be an instrument of God's love? Will you let your good deeds shine and give testimony to a living, loving Father? May we go forth into the world confident that we are God's children, knowing that we have been called by name. In our daily life, may we align ourselves to our Father's will, seeking direction to follow his plan for us, which gives us a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. And may we have patience in the waiting, in the challenges and joys we face. May we be assured that we do not face them alone. Let us go in peace, hope, and love, in the name of our compassionate and powerful God, the Son, our Savior, and the comforting Holy Spirit.